from the Canadian Medical Association Journal editorial. I'll just quote a little bit. Female feticide happens in India and China by the millions, but it also happens in North America in large enough numbers to distort the male-to-female ratio in some ethnic groups. Should female feticide in Canada be ignored because it is a small problem localized to minority ethnic groups? No. Small numbers cannot be ignored when the issue is about discrimination against women in its most extreme form. It devalues women. How can it be curbed? The solution is to postpone the disclosure of medically irrelevant information to women until after 30 weeks of pregnancy. And as you can imagine, that has stirred a lot of controversy in the medical ethics community. We're joined by Andrea Morozek, Manager of Research and Communications at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's your reaction to the editorial in the CMA Journal?
Well, the first thing is that I am really thankful to Dr. Kale, who wrote the editorial, for bringing up this issue. Oftentimes, anything to do with abortion is ignored because it's such a controversial topic. This is all the more controversial because we're talking about the killing of girls because they are girls. And certainly that's a hot button issue. So I thank him for bringing that up. As for his solutions to the problem, certainly we know it's happening in Canada. We've known that for some time. We've worked to quantify it. I wrote a story about that myself. And whether that solution is workable is very debatable. It's a problem that has few solutions in a country where you have abortion readily available on demand at any time.
The figures that I could find estimates that there are between 100 and 110,000 abortions performed in Canada every year. You say you've tried to quantify how prevalent this particular issue is in Canadian society right now, the abortion of female fetuses in ethnic communities. What have you been able to find out about it?
The numbers would come into the thousands. My research on this is on the old side. I did it in 2006.
Okay.
But nonetheless, at that time, the research showed that it would have been into the thousands of lost daughters for Canadian communities, with large percentages from places that accept son preference as a cultural norm.
So could we assume then that it would occur more often where you have large immigrant communities and large Asian immigrant communities?
Yes, that's exactly what we looked at, is communities like Coquitlam in British Columbia, some suburbs of the Toronto area, where you have such high percentages from areas that accept son preference as a norm. And that's how you can look at the birth ratios and see whether they deviate from the norm. A normal ratio is 105 boys for 100 girls. And what we found in 2006 was that some of these areas had ratios up to 114 boys for 100 girls. So you can see how that's a substantial deviation from what is normal.
Just reading a little bit more from this editorial in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. A woman has the right to medical information about herself that is available to a healthcare professional to provide advice and treatment. The sex of the fetus is medically irrelevant information. Do you agree with that it's medically irrelevant?
For the most part, it's medically irrelevant. There are some conditions that are based on the sex of the fetus, and I suppose in those specific minority of cases, it would be medically relevant. For the most part, women and men, fathers and mothers, like to know the sex of their child just so they can be closer to that child. They know, they prepare, they can be excited about a son or a daughter. That, I believe, is important. For the vast majority of Canadians, knowing the sex of their child in the womb is important for just that specific reason. And so when you look at denying that information to the majority who would never consider aborting for reasons of sex, it's unfair to be punishing them for something that they would never consider, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, aren't we kind of, you know, if we start doing this, we're on an ethical slippery slope when we begin to dictate what information we're going to share, what care we're going to provide, how we're going to do medical treatment based on someone's ethnicity or someone's background, someone's culture.
Yeah, it is a form of racial profiling, if you want to call it that. And more to the point, it hasn't worked in countries where they've tried to stem the tide of sex selection abortion by denying that information. So it hasn't proven to be particularly effective.
So do you think that this would be good public policy, Andrea Morozek, to institute this? Don't tell anyone the sex of their fetus until 30 weeks when an abortion is impossible, all but impossible? Would that be good public policy?
If I thought that it would save the lives of those girls, I would say it would be good public policy, but I don't believe it has that hope of succeeding because people find a way to get around it. Again, abortion is available on demand. You can travel. We have a very large border with the United States. You can always travel to the States to know the sex of your fetus, and as a result, I would say it would not be good public policy.
Okay. How then do you think from a public policy standpoint we could approach this in terms of sharing so-called traditional Canadian values in these communities, maybe to let these folks know in these communities that we find that socially abhorrent?
Well, there does seem to be a bit of a movement to suggesting that Canadian values are important. I know of one group, Immigrants for Canada, that sprung up recently suggesting that when you come to Canada, there are a set of values that are important. And stressing those for immigrants who come to Canada is likewise important. I know they suggest that education is likewise important. Unfortunately, education in the countries where this is very prevalent has not proven to work thus far. You actually see higher rates of sex selection abortion in higher educated families amongst higher educated people. I think the problem does lie with our abortion on demand regime. We're not going to find consensus on sex selection abortion until we find consensus on the abortion issue, because for many people, there isn't all that good a reason to stop sex selection abortion when you might find other reasons that are equally troubling.
Thank you for your insight today. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
Andrea Morozak, Manager of Research and Communications at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada.